Welcome. Today's quick question. As LLM-based AI agents move from prototypes into production, what new security threats appear, and why should engineering and product teams care? We'll unpack a recent survey that maps a layered attack surface for agents. To start, an LLM agent here means not just a model, but models plus external tools and plugins, persistent memory or state, and connectors into services and data. That combination changes the risk picture. Jamie,
can you give a concise technical framing of that layered attack surface?
Sure. The survey organizes threats by layers. At the top, you've got the input and prompt layer, where prompt injection or malicious context happens. Next are model internals and training fine-tuning, risks like data poisoning or jailbreaks. Then tool and plugin connectors, which expose external APIs and can be misused as an exfiltration path. Below that is the execution environment and OS. Sandbox escapes, and privilege escalation. Finally, persistent memory or state that can leak sensitive history. The framework helps map attacks to where defenses should sit.
So it's basically model behavior plus the plumbing around it. Can you quickly summarize the practical stakes? What actually goes wrong in the real world?
Yes, the main stakes are data leakage, sensitive prompts or user data exposed, service disruption, agents issuing costly or destructive actions, supply chain compromise, malicious plugins or third-party tools, and compliance or audit risk when you can't explain or control agent decisions. Those map cleanly to different layers in the framework.
To make that concrete, I've seen an internal agent accidentally call a payment API repeatedly because a prompt triggered a loop. We racked up charges before the alert fired. That's a simple connector plus logic failure with real cost.
That example really shows why product teams should care. For this episode, we'll focus on two guiding questions. One, what are the main attack layers and how do they work? And two, what defenses actually hold up in real systems? Jamie and Mark will walk those through next, but first, short introductions. I'm Alex, I'll guide the conversation. Jamie, you're our researcher who will break down the taxonomy. Mark, you're the systems engineer who will highlight operational trade-offs. Okay, let's walk through the layered attack surface from the paper, one layer at a time. Jamie, start with the input and prompt layer. What happens there and why is it dangerous?
At the input prompt layer, adversaries manipulate the model's context. Think of malicious snippets injected into user prompts, web-scraped context, or untrusted system messages. Common attacks are prompt injection, where the attacker crafts text that changes the agent's instructions, and context poisoning, where bad data subtly shifts model outputs. It's basically social engineering aimed at the model. Trick the agent into doing something it shouldn't.
So prompt injection is like persuading a person to break the rules by slipping in a convincing request. How do teams defend that layer in practice?
There are several techniques. Strict input validation and sanitization, filtering or redacting sensitive fields, using prompt templates that isolate untrusted text from instructions, and provenance tagging so you know where each piece of context came from. But none of those are perfect alone. You need layered controls.
From ops side, filtering and provenance add measurable latency and complexity. Provenance tracking requires extra metadata storage and changes APIs, which frustrates developers. And aggressive filtering can break legitimate use cases. False positives are a real headache.
Good point. Next layer, model internals and training. Jamie, what threats show up there?
This layer covers risks during pre-training, fine-tuning, and prompting that directly influence model behavior. Data poisoning inserts malicious examples into training corpora. Jailbreak techniques exploit model weaknesses to override safety prompts. Defenses include dataset vetting, differential privacy during training, and robust alignment checks, plus continuous adversarial testing to discover jailbreaks.
Implementing differential privacy or heavy vetting increases cost and can reduce model utility. We often face a trade-off. Stricter training controls reduce risky behaviors, but also blunt capabilities that product teams want. So we try staged rollouts with monitoring to catch regression quickly.
That staged rollout idea is useful. Catch problems early before full production. The next layer is connectors and plugins. Jamie, you describe these as open windows. Expand on that.
Exactly. Connectors and plugins let agents talk to external services, databases, CI systems, payment APIs. They're powerful but create exfiltration and misuse paths. A malicious prompt could instruct the agent to send sensitive data through a plugin, or a compromised third-party plugin could leak secrets. The survey emphasizes privilege separation, least privilege tokens, and vetting third-party extensions.
In practice, we lock connectors behind service accounts and scoped credentials and use API gateways. But that means developers need more boilerplate and testing. Also, scoping tokens tightly can break composed workflows where the agent legitimately needs broad access across services.
Can you give a concrete example of connector misuse?
Sure. Imagine an agent with a calendar plugin and an email sender. A crafted prompt could trick it into emailing a report that includes sensitive customer data. If the calendar plugin is compromised, it might exfiltrate event details. So connectors are high-risk interfaces and need monitoring and throttling.
Okay, moving down, the execution environment and OS layer. Jamie, what are the main concerns there?
This layer is about where code runs, containers, VMs, and serverless runtimes. Attacks include sandbox escapes, privilege escalation, and lateral movement inside the infrastructure. Defenses are strong container isolation, minimal host privileges, capability dropping, and using read-only file systems. Runtime monitoring and kernel-level protections help too.
Those measures work, but they also increase operational cost and can hurt latency, e.g., spinning up isolated containers per request or enforcing heavy syscall policies adds overhead. We often compromise with pooled sandboxes and task-level isolation to balance cost and safety.
Last core layer, persistent memory or state. What are the risks there?
Persistent memory stores conversation history, user preferences, and task state. If poorly protected, it becomes a rich source of secrets and PII. Attacks include exfiltrating history via connectors or poisoning stored memories that later influence behavior. Defenses: encryption at rest, scoped access, retention limits, and audit logs to track reads and writes.
Retention policies and encryption are straightforward, but retrofitting encryption into messy legacy systems is expensive. Also, retention limits sometimes conflict with product features that rely on long-term personalization.
Jamie, you mentioned earlier that single defenses aren't enough. How should teams combine techniques?
The paper advocates defense in depth. Filter and validate inputs, enforce least privilege on connectors, isolate execution, monitor anomalous behavior, and run continuous red team tests. Combine static controls, access limits, provenance, with dynamic controls, anomaly detection, runtime throttles. Red teaming surfaces real attack vectors you didn't plan for.
We learned that the hard way. For example, anomaly detection reduces false positives if you tune it with domain-specific signals, but that tuning takes time. And red team findings often require trade-offs, either weaken a feature or invest in more complex isolation.
Quick methodology note from the survey. What did the authors rely on, and where are gaps for practitioners?
Their approach is a taxonomy driven by literature, incident reports, and illustrative experiments. It's comprehensive conceptually, but the paper highlights a gap. Few systematic quantitative evaluations of defenses at production scale. We need standardized benchmarks, measurement frameworks, and more incident data to prioritize mitigations effectively.
That aligns with what I see. Teams often adopt best effort controls without clear metrics for effectiveness. Investing in observability and clear incident postmortems is the most practical near-term improvement.
Great. To wrap this deep dive, one short practical takeaway from each of you on implementing defenses?
Start with provenance and input isolation. Then add adversarial testing. You'll find the simplest attacks fast.
Prioritize least privileged connectors and staged rollouts with strong monitoring, except there'll be trade-offs in latency and developer ergonomics.
Perfect. That gives listeners concrete next steps as we move into implications. Thanks. Let's move to the next segment. Let's start with impact. How do these threats actually affect engineering teams, vendors, and end users day to day?
For engineers, it's developer overhead and incident response. Teams spend time chasing false positives or scrambling to revoke tokens after a connector misuse. Vendors face reputational risk and potential legal exposure if data leaks. End users can lose trust if an agent exposes PII or performs harmful actions.
And for research and products, incidents distort priorities. Teams invest in quick mitigations instead of measured fixes because there's little empirical data on what actually blocks real attacks at scale.
regulatory angle, what should companies be worrying about from a compliance perspective?
Privacy laws and sectoral rules mean leaked data can trigger fines. Plus, auditability requirements are tightening. If you can't show provenance and access logs, you're exposed. That's why retention policies and detailed logs matter.
Also, explainability demands are emerging. Regulators will ask how decisions were made by agents. If memory or fine-tuning influenced an outcome, teams need traceability.
Trade-offs are inevitable. Mark, walk us through the biggest ones you see when applying these defenses.
Simple. Security versus utility and velocity. Strict sandboxes and least privileged tokens reduce risk but slow iteration and break some workflows. Heavy monitoring and provenance raise latency and storage costs. You often need staged rollouts and canary tests to balance risk and product needs.
And from a modeling view, stronger alignment or restrictive prompting can reduce capabilities and increase user friction. So teams should adopt layered defenses rather than a single hammer. Defense in depth preserves more utility.
Okay, practical checklist. Mark, give engineers the top actionable steps to start with.
Keep it short. 1. Enforce least privilege on all connectors and rotate scope tokens regularly. 2. Add provenance metadata for every piece of context. 3. Use staged rollouts and feature flags to limit blast radius. 4. Implement logging and auditable trails for reads, writes to memory. Regular red team and incident postmortems.
I'd add continuous adversarial testing and automated anomaly detection tuned to domain signals. And invest early in measurement. Capture baseline false positive, false negative rates so defenses can be evaluated.
You mentioned supply chain vetting earlier. Quick note on practical steps there.
Vet third-party plugins. Require signed releases, least privileged scopes, and internal approval for any external connector. Treat plugins like inbound network traffic. Inspect, throttle, and isolate.
Plus, maintain a registry of trusted extensions with automated security scans. That lowers the barrier to consistent vetting across teams.
What are the open research gaps that would help practitioners make better decisions?
We need standardized benchmarks for agent-specific threats, measurement frameworks that quantify defense effectiveness in production, and curated incident datasets. Also, tooling for automated provenance and richer runtime telemetry that's scalable.
From operations, lower-cost sandboxing patterns and composable isolation primitives would help adoption. Right now, strong isolation is either too expensive or too disruptive for many teams.
Last, roles and responsibilities. Who should own what inside an organization?
Product teams should define acceptable behaviors and UX trade-offs. ML research should own model alignment and testing. Security teams set policies, controls, and incident response. Legal ensures compliance and shapes data retention and consent rules.
Practically, platform or infra teams should own connectors, provenance infrastructure, and rollout tooling. Integrate security early, shift left, so features ship with controls, not as an afterthought.
Okay, quick closing, one crisp takeaway each. Mark?
Prioritize least privileged connectors, staged rollouts, and invest in observability. Those three moves reduce the majority of practical risk.
Build measurement and red teaming into your development lifecycle. Without empirical evaluation, you're guessing which defenses work.
And the core insight I want listeners to take away. As agents combine models, tools, and state, their attack surface grows in predictable layers. Treat each layer with targeted defenses and measure their effectiveness. To finish, a quick reminder. The podcast is available on Spotify. Search for Ship It with AI. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.